Discover new mind and body hacks to thrive as a human today. The Institute for Aliveness is here to teach you all the things you never learned in school. From talking poop, sex, childhood trauma, emotional intelligence, psychedelics, and of course, fasting and food. The graduates of this institute now steward the decentralized autonomous organization of TIFA. Join them as they share their journeys and host the most impactful and fun humans for you to learn from.
Welcome to part two of the conversation with Dr. Andrea Page. This is Niketana from TIFA headquarters. In the last episode, we touched on the sense of the hero's journey threshold experience, the gym of training our nervous system, and Andrea's journey with birthing the Institute for Aliveness, or TIFA. In this episode, we speak further into walking the path post-spiritual awakening and what it means to go beyond the personal into serving the transpersonal, to constantly dance with the hall of mirrors that is this life, the unfolding future of TIFA as it moves into a decentralized autonomous space, and how ethical AI could play a crucial role moving forward. Hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you. Welcome back, part two of this beautiful conversation. Feeling into the threads to pick up on in this part. It's to speak into the journey of TIFA, the Institute for Aliveness, and perhaps its present and its future, and to have a dialogue on where we're at and what you had seen for it and what's emerging.
Yeah, so I think what it feels alive from part one of this conversation is the sense of the threshold experience, the value of personal transformation, the finesse and refinement of walking the path of spiritual training after post-spiritual awakening. And something picking up from the beginning of our previous conversation, the sense of ease versus dis-ease, or bliss from ego or bliss from spirit, however we looked at it. And I feel like obviously the initiation is an initiation. That's why it's titled such. But TIFA is very much an initiatory experience through which several thresholds will be met. And I am afforded this time to speak to you now because I received a message actually from one of the TIFA faculty whom I was supposed to be meeting with right now. And she shared that she was coming down with something. And so my response was, I'll see you on the other side of the threshold. And the acknowledgement of dis-ease as a threshold, as, you know, this culmination, this bubbling up of something inside as a profound spiritual transformative opportunity. And where TIFA was born from, as COVID, a virus, this virus surged across the earth. I tried to overemphasize and make it clear at the very beginning that this was a profound spiritual awakening for the world, a shift in perceptive, both, you know, in shadow and in light. And really understanding COVID magically, magic. For anyone who's ever had COVID, like, take a second and just take stock and take inventory of where you were in your life and what was shifting, because the moment that you got it wasn't because someone coughed on you, right? The moment that your body became ripe for that transmutance on whatever level was a moment where, you know, one was meant to sit with themselves in the act of quarantine, right? Picking up where we were speaking about silence and off-grid time and shutting off from the world, that, yeah, there's a lot of magic in there that I don't think is fully tapped yet, in terms of the much, much bigger meta overarching myth of our reality and humanity and where we are in the timeline of existence. And I think of like just a short tale that's precious to me because it speaks into this, the subtlety and also the easiness with which we can be blind to blind spots and or forget what we know. And when we're reminded, the joy of having companions on the journey, instantly we come online and open, blossom and flower. And a moment about maybe a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, at an open mic that I had been sharing at, and I read a lot of my writing at open mics, and I knew it was coming through that not only was I going to share it at an open mic, my writing, but that writing would be crafted into a song and I would sing it. And the voice sung in a performance style is something that I've had trauma around as a kid. And lots of not enough stories and perfectionism stories. And this was a very big threshold moment for me to have a chance to break through. And before, as it was happening, I was getting a fever and, you know, wasn't feeling well. And someone who's perhaps less, has less fortitude than I, would back up and back away at that point and say, oh no, I'm sick. It's not a good time. It's not a good day. And that was not at all an option for me. And yet still the perception of the fever as something inconvenient or bad or wrong was in my awareness, because I would have rather, right, the ego, the human experience at large, would have rather it not been there. And all I needed was the person who I was with, who's been through TIFA, to look at me and say, uh-huh, threshold, huh? And I was like, oh, yeah. And it was just that allowed me to melt into the acceptance of the fever in a way that made the threshold experience much more rewarding, if we will. Yeah. Mm. And so these themes of contraction and expansion and ease and dis-ease and the personal life journey, that feels quite alive for me right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. And I guess that takes us into body, which is exactly where we're going. Set to relaunch January 2025 will be a revised version of a TIFA offering, which previously was only available to people who would undergo the entire process and experience of not only body, mind, and spirit semesters, but then the additional self-study, which included an apprenticeship with a master over the age of 70, which included a thesis writing process, which included coaching content and practice coaching, whether it be on a more biological level or whether it be profoundly transformational on a transpersonal level. And what we've done is been able to deconstruct these parts of the course to still offer a master's if and when someone takes all parts and allows themselves to journey through them, but not for that to be the entry point.
Mm.
It's very clear that the world needs this work, and especially on a very biological level, even if that's the starting point, if that's the gateway drug, as I like to call yogasana, the physical being the entry point, of that's the tangible, that's what can be seen and felt, and the more subtle right? The more esoteric, the more shadow-based, the more difficult to see and feel and experience, and the more attunement is required before entering those spaces. And so we plan to open body as a course in and of itself, available to anyone, anywhere. Perhaps anyone who has the appetite and the desire and the ability to open up the Pandora's box of embodied experience and embodied research. And to be, rather than told what's the good or right diet, to be given a set of parameters on which to experiment and to have community and informational input, which most of which instigates critical thinking of how do I know what I think I know around food, around clothes, around air quality, around water, around how these all work, around pooping, around the digestive system, around herbal medicine, around, you know, all of the other things which played into body. How do I know what I think I know? Can the body heal itself, right? Asking these questions, and asking these questions with a very skilled and experienced container to be able to hold one's own self-realization on the level of the biological. And it's a continued journey. It's not like you come to body for 4 months, check, you're done, bye, good job. It's, oh, you've learned how to make experiments, and you've found some deep, undeniable truths, which when you make those experiments will almost always come out the same, because that is the truth of the biological. And then if and when people have sought with the truth of what the biological, maybe they take a few years to integrate it, or maybe they're ready, then and only then does one recommit to a new container for mind, where there's this sense of, okay, well, let's look at all those truths that were very evident on the biological level, and let's see how and where and why and wherein they will be somehow trumped, if I can use that word, by the psychological.
And the mind offers an extra dimension of meeting something uncomfortable.
Mm.
Yeah. The body starts you, prepares you. No?
Mm. Yeah, cleansing process to be able to see the reality differently, wherein as we come into mind and we come into understanding trauma and psychosomatics, second month of mind, there's significant aha moments where we start to see and revere mind as, in one way, a higher truth than body.
Mm.
And manas, this ability for the mind to manifest that which happens in the body. That is what psychosomatics refers to, psychosoma, mind of the body. And that will be a process, as it always is. Mind is notably the most difficult, most challenging, most confronting semester of the Tifa journey. And so as we've designed it now, it's Tifa 1, Tifa 2, as if these were levels. And then Tifa 3 is, of course, spirit. So then people can go away and move with this and move into deeper layers of a trauma healing journey. We will have required somatic containers and practices and or seeing therapists one-on-one for the de-armoring arts, because the mind can only get us so far. And if there's a habitual pattern in the neuromusculature, it doesn't matter how much someone knows or understands at the level of the mind, it has to unravel through the nervous system in the physicality of the body. And so then, you know, even if mind is a higher truth, we're still rooted in body, and that takes time. And that is a mucky, muddy journey. From there, if and when someone's ready and if and when they desire to move on to a little more lightness, to look and to see the unseen, the unseen being relational truth, as I mentioned in the first episode about our relationship to ourself, our relationship to other people, our relationship to space, and our relationship to nature, and our relationship to the process of divination. And life at a larger level, deeper meaning beyond our human journey. And that's Spirit's Semester. And it takes us right back to sexuality and intimacy and the merging of two human forms. It takes us right back to body. And again, grounds everything through spirit, through mind, through body. And then the second year coursework will still be offered. There'll be further offerings. And it'll be offered in a different way, of which we're not entirely certain yet. But I think what we learned most palpably through the journey was how to not only set people up for success in this case meaning personal transformation, however pretty or ugly that might look, or how much the person's ego might love or hate it, irregardless, success is transformation in whatever direction. That we also have learned to start to design systems, and this has been strongly through the DAO formation process, how to design systems around incentives. How can someone be incentivized to go to the spiritual gym and work out in self-growth? You know, and what does that look like? And that's really a huge next phase of TIFA, on many levels more refined and technological, that I'm excited to work on. And on other levels, kind of more grounded in a very sharing way that TIFA has always meant to be. I mean, people's TIFA's journey was so personal that someone in their life witnessing them couldn't help but notice and would ask. And we got a lot of referrals of people who had seen changes in their friends and had come back and said, I want that. And yet, the big inaction of TIFA that I've always known was to be is when the graduates become local leaders in their communities and step into that place of channeling the lore, as it were, of really sharing from an embodied space and thereby starting instigating the transformational processes of people in their immediate environment. And that is why TIFA is so heavily global, through space and perhaps time. It is that grassroots kind of project. And
I want to stop you for a minute, Andy, and speak into that particular last point of, I think so often when we think of these deeply personal transformation journeys that we stop there, you know, at this sense of like, I want to be transformed and I want to do the shadow work and I want to, you know, I want to become a better person. But I think so often it stops there, and that's where the Hall of Mirrors comes in, and we fall back into this, the sense of hedonism and, you know, this going back into this myself journey, my growth journey. And I think what's special about TIFA, especially in the latter part, following into this journey, is the emphasis on the transpersonal. It's to go beyond that sense of self, you know, that there is that space and that container for this deeply personal journey that's deeply needed. And at the same time, it pushes one to move out of that sphere of myself into, okay, what is this? What is the Dharma? What is this journey to become a better person actually leading to? And I think that's where it comes into what so often the what's missing in this world of, you know, self-empowerment, transformation. It is, what does it mean to go through this journey, you know, and what does that look like on the other side of it? What does it look like for the world, for the community of humans we're part of, and this ecology that we're so deeply interwoven into? And I think it's a very key missing piece that Tifa sort of provides a container to hold that exploration for, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, it brings me back to something that I shared at the beginning of the first episode here of my spiritual awakening, if I could answer the question, happened when I was 21, 20 to 21, when I was in Oroville studying on a program called Living Roots. And there was a container for this high quality personal transformative work that I had never been afforded the opportunity or didn't know existed. And I popped like a bud in spring, so ready. And I had a textbook spiritual awakening over a 6-month period of time. And it was about a year into Tifa that I realized that this work was actually, it might not have even been a year into Tifa, because the Tifa scholarship program, the Oroville scholarship program, was part of the first year. I was very clear in beginning Tifa that there would be Oroville students there. And it was to answer exactly what you speak to, that Sri Aurobindo's tenet of man as a transitional being, that this is not the end of our evolution, that we will have further evolution and it will be evolution of consciousness. That this was a very lovely tenet that could be disembodied in many ways and theoretical. And I think I deeply hungered for the practical and the biological, right? The psychological, the physiological, in addition to the spiritual, and as a byproduct of, and back and forth. And so when I say that I was 21 working as a naturopath in Oroville, and it was not because I wanted to, but because the information that I had come to understand at an embodied level was something too valuable not to share, that when that Dharma comes, that is what Tifa graduates are invited into. That sense of that which Tifa has given is too valuable not to share. And how can that sharing come from an embodied place rather than from a mental headspace or a school report place, or, you know, all of these other places, an ego place, a desire to make money place, all these other traps that there are? Because it is the vibratory nature of that changes lives and transforms people. And what we know is that humanity is very, very hungry for personal transformation, and people might not have the fortitude or the understanding or the ability to stay up for nights in prayer like you. That they might be graced to see a cleverly titled lecture that they get to attend, that lecture in itself is nothing other than a mirror and an invitation to look inside the mirror and to ask hard questions. Mm. So for me, the future of Tifa is not about the course or the content, the material. It's about the way that this work moves its way into the world, because that's why it was born. Tifa was never born for people to have transformational journeys. There are much better guides than me. There are lots of places in person where people can go. Tifa was born to birth a generation of revolutionaries in applied epigenetics who would be able to take this forth to the world and become leaders. Yeah.
I just wanted to give that. To give it a silence, just to let it be.
Yeah.
You were gonna say?
That you know, it's through the threshold experience of creating, the act of creation, of birthing, not only the Institute, but the graduates to steward it further. It's through that, you know, that has been in many ways the winter. And it's time for spring. It's time for the spring and the proliferation and the spreading of seeds and the pollination and the buzzing of bees. And for the fruits of the labor to come.
Mm-hmm. And to let go.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But the Tao formation process that we've been in for the past 6 months of stretching into decentralization, understanding it first at a mental level, and then later getting more and more experiences of embodying it, working with governance, and working with, an ever attuning relationship to this body of work and how it wants to communicate itself in the world. And, you know, many people I talk to don't understand anything I do. And sometimes that comes with judgment, which I've gotten quite okay at allowing it to roll off my duck feathers like water. But this concept of spending 4 years building a startup and then giving it to the customers effectively is very novel and I hope ahead of its time. And the DAO movement has revealed many things to us, and it's been successful and unsuccessful in all of the different ways. It's been a buzzword and a fad concept to a dying movement to everywhere in between, and I have a very strong hypothesis that it is the lack of ability to tap into the transpersonal level of awareness of something bigger than ourselves, and to be able to plug into it as a source of motivation rather than only the personal source of motivation and the personal agenda and the personal desire. And that I think could be the hint or the clue for success of allowing a thriving decentralized organization. And so since before TIFA was born, I always knew that this would be governed by the graduates. TIFA began because I wanted to leave my career, and yet I felt this responsibility that no one was doing this full spectrum embodiment work, which today we might call applied epigenetics meets embodied non-duality, the two tenets that TIFA is pioneering. And so this flowering after is why I did the whole thing, you know? That's why my human was willing to show up day after day after day after many times of not wanting to. And yeah, and the offering, not only to the graduates, but to humanity, of that swaha, that sense of offering, is, I hope I'll be able to look back on it and see it as one of the best things that I've ever done. And you know, only time will tell, and whatever happens will be riddled with wonder and imperfection, and hopefully a lot of laughter. Let's see if the entire ethos of building a company can demonstrate an ability to be transformed through the work of Tifa as well. So let's see what it means when we take collaboration out of the corporation and take it to the heart. And let's see what it means to truly have incentive structures that are our win-win-wins. And what that could mean for human flourishing at every level. And what it means to benefit from helping others. And how all of that doesn't sit in or with the ego and the name and the idea of who anyone thinks they are.
Yeah.
You think you are who I think I am.
I think you're speaking into the fact that Tifa, in whatever form it continues to take, or it begins to take, it continues to be challenging, and it continues to provoke one to dig deeper and to find truths behind the hall of mirrors constantly.
It's the gym.
Built
a gym. Come on,
right, and right now it's a journey that us as graduates are going through. And you spoke so beautifully into the offering in 2025 of, and also perhaps even now as we figure out what DAOs mean and tokenization and what that looks like, how more and more people can start to tune into this, into precisely the things that we're grappling with and constantly learning with and experimenting and researching. And I think more and more where Tifa is going is this offering to open up, to let the world in more, and co-create in that way, which feels very exciting.
Especially the last, I'd say, 2 months of the process has grown me in ways that, you know, I couldn't have foreseen. But the, like, what I'm being asked to do at a professional level, at an intellectual level, which I can trust that I've been skilled and qualified for, are pretty nuts. Like designing a tokenomic system. Like I keep using the analogy of being in quicksand. And yet even, you know, just over the past week, like the field is revealing itself. And I can have profound trust. Like I have, if nothing else, through the hardship of the past 4 years, I've learned to trust Tifa. And the surrender into that of, this isn't about me or how smart I can be or, you know, how well I can figure it out. It's about listening. It's about learning to deeply listen. I guess when working in such a granular technological, even though it's cyber, it's still granular. Like there's a binary code, you know. It's something that is so deterministic, and I have very little experience in, and yet binary code is duality. And so the preparation of what I always say throughout my entire career is I've taught so many things of, I can teach so many things because it's all one thing.
Mm.
It's all the union. It's the non-duality. It's the oneness. And yeah.
Mm. What does it mean to play? Well, I guess I think one of the things that Tifa has also been for me quite new and challenging and interesting is this, and I think perhaps that's the beauty of what you bring into it, Andy, is this constant confrontation of preconceived ideas of what spirituality looks like, you know? And what you speak into now of this technological space that you're playing with and we're playing with as the perhaps the stewards of what's to come forth is, yeah, what does it look like in this increasingly, and perhaps this is, you tell me if this goes off topic, but I feel like what we're playing with is the future of technology, is the future of humanity, right? And this is what the world is grappling with anyway at this moment, with AI and the ethical and the moral challenges it brings. And I guess I'm curious to hear from you your perspective on that as we move and deeply embed ourselves in these spaces, you know?
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. There's so much foreshadowing in that. Mm. Thank you. Where to start? I guess this is something that I mentioned at the beginning of the first episode here, that this is a bit of a bookend. Perhaps it's a trilogy, I don't know, of on this podcast in, I guess it must have been 2018. The first day I met Jennifer Pupillo.
Cool. I'm feeling a very strong calling to interviews for this first season.
Yes. Fantastic. Tune in for episode 3 of season 8. Institute for Aliveness Vitality podcast. I was with her in a car and we were driving across Italy and then France, and she wanted to know my story, what I was about, what my work was about. And I said, fine, I'll tell you, it'll take a while, and I'm going to turn on the phone and record it and release it as a podcast episode. And she was like, oh, okay. And so for an hour I went, and I think that podcast is titled Where I Am Now in my life, and it was not dissimilar to this, and that it was a massive update of this body of work's evolution. It talked about AI. I had a much more armored ethos back then, with my Aries Venus self, very fiery, alive podcast, and I discussed the possibilities for ethical AI, and what's always attracted me since 2018 that I've been, you know, very like in the field of artificial intelligence. What's seduced me further is artificial emotional intelligence. And AI isn't a term that's used so much anymore. It was really used 2018, 19. But this was a sense of like all of the chatbots that speak to you for mental health or these kinds of things. It was a way to bring empathy into the language used in AI and to simulate emotional intelligence. At a machine level, and that was what my first AI company was. Veda is what it was called, 2018, and it took us only 6 months to realize that not only did we not really have the startup experience, but we also didn't have the AI coding experience or know-how on our developer team. And so we chose to kind of cut our losses where we were. And yet I was so clear. I was so clear in silence in 2017 that in leaving my career, it was because I wanted to be able to affect so many more people by using technology, because the most intimate thing that anyone is with anything today is your smartphone. And so how can we use the intellect, the intimacy, that's interesting, intellect came out of my mouth. How can we use the intimacy and inlet of the smartphone as a place to ask those questions? And everything about this work is asking questions. It's asking the right questions so that one has to sit with and say, well, how? I've never thought of that, or like those kinds of moments. And the ability to ask the right questions, whether it's how much water have you had to drink today? When was the last time you had an orgasm? Right? How much has your body moved today? What are you feeling in your heart space? When was the last time you really felt heard and seen and loved? When was the last time you loved beyond your capacity, where it poured out of you? A question that sometimes I ask in Nada Yoga that tends to really set people off in all those beautiful ways is, when was the last time you were truly happy? And these questions and a million more questions have the power for instigation of deep self-inquiry and reflection upon our existence, rather than simply trucking through and living our existence. And so I'm surprised and I'm baffled by the fact that we're still in a screen reality. I surely thought that by now we would have holographic technology that was swipeable and motion detected. And so I'm amazed that technology is not advancing as fast as I thought it would. And yet I've always known, when building Tifa, that we were designing for the future and designing for future technology, whether that is biofeedback and the reading of physiological metrics, or whether that is the intimacy of how one is interacting with potentially triggering material. I don't know if I must have told you of the, you are your own guru, the concept. Have I told you about that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit of a proprietary information. I don't know how I want to share it here, but it's the essence of someone guiding themselves through the course, rather than having a course facilitator, a teacher onto whom they can transfer. And what would happen if we can use technology to do that? Yeah, there's so many ways in which technology, which is a tool, like a fork, like a knife, like a teapot, you know, like a computer. It's a tool that allows for facilitation of something. That's what tools do. They allow us to do something in an easier way than the prior version of a tool. So when we had slate to carve out on a rock to be able to write, slowly over time, that slate turned into lead, which turned into a pencil, and that rock turned into a tree bark, which turned into paper, papyrus, and we began to write. Right? These are tools. It's, if nothing else, human evolution is told through the story of our tools. I'm sure Yuval Noah Harari has probably lots on that. I've never heard that anywhere, but it's so clear that there's this co-evolution between human consciousness, which includes our ability to manipulate the environment around us, which is applied epigenetics. For what purpose? For our awakening, right? That consciousness and technology have evolved at the same time. And this is why AI is Aquarian. This is why we are entering the age of Aquarius. This is why Aquarius is also higher consciousness. And the ability for us to learn how to use tools and wield tools. You know, it's often not the machine error, it's human error. And I strongly believe that in the Tao movement, it's been human error, not machine error. That the way that we have transparent ledgers and blockchain technology and smart contracts between decentralized nodes of individuals, that there can be great potential there to set a stage for incentivized well-being of all. And not because the three P's of people, profit, and planet look good on a corporate pitch deck, but because there is true incentive to understanding that as our environment thrives, thus we thrive. And I think that pivotal misunderstanding or misnomer in modern culture, people think they can go to the supermarket and buy organic food and they'll be okay, but they don't realize that the organic food that they're buying has been grown for an industry that wants big margins and maximal growth, and that by virtue of that, the quality of their food will constantly not only go down over time, but also as it's optimized for efficiency so that your salary can sit on the shelf for 3 weeks after it was cut from the transport process to when you buy it.
The Hall of Mirrors continues.
That it's losing nutrition, and it's like there's so much complexity to truth, and it requires a tremendous amount of critical inquiry to get near one of the mirrors and to look inside and say, oh, I see something familiar there, right? Let me not assume what I've been told this is, and let me continue to inquire. And in that inquiry process, artificial intelligence will be of the utmost use of companionship, of friendship, of aiding, of enabling. And where we come light, as with light comes dark. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be scared of. But there's not only a lot to be scared of. There's a lot to celebrate. And my first consulting company was to develop the developers, to work with those who were encoding blockchain and AI technology. Because they, just like I encoded Tifa with my shadows and patterns, right, they are encoding the code with their shadows and patterns. And so there's no right or wrong or good or bad about all of that. All of it has its purpose. And what I would call for is more awareness, overarching awareness through and through. And if nothing else, AI is a fucking amazing data collector and data synthesizer. And data is the byproduct of awareness. And so it's a very exciting time to be alive. And it's a very exciting time to know that whereas a natural result of a human undergoing a Tifa-like process would be to move off grid and grow your own food, that's not, it's romantic. And I encourage many people to do that, and I hope they do. And at the same time, that the world is going somewhere else, and Tifa is here to hold those very dense polarities. And this is a theory that I've had as a futurist. I'm branding myself a futurist. No, I mean, it's just sun conjunct Mercury and Aquarius. It's like, you know, where I come alive, where I come alive most as a human is in futurism. That my theory for so many years has been that we'll have an ever increasing divide between the built environment and the natural environment. And natural environment, organic experiences, off-grid type experiences will become more rare, as we've already seen with rapid urbanization, right? More than 50% of the 8.5 billion population of humans lives in cities now, that the natural environment experiences will become luxury and they'll become ways to balance out this highly urbanized, highly technologicalized existence. And that humans, like any duality, will vacillate between them, often those who are privileged to be able to. And that it won't be more of an integrated biophilic reality, but that we will see the duality presenting itself in all forms without any sense of need to judge good or bad or right or wrong. And so by very virtue of Tifa being governed by a decentralized autonomous organization built upon blockchain technology using smart contracts, we are walking into the future. And we hope to be, I guess, at some level, leaders in that space in a very coy, shy way, because as is written in our white paper, we're not using, you know, our normal software coding technology. We're using firmware. We're working with human technology, and consciousness is human technology. Metacognition, what I wrote my college entrance exam on in high school, my essay on in high school, this ability to self-reflect and think about what we're thinking and think about self and ask ourselves harder questions. Like, this is a technology. And so, yeah, I love AI. I make love to AI. Yeah, there's this, it's so exciting to sit and to witness this co-evolution and to trust it. Yeah. And I'm really grateful to be a human alive today, as horrifying as is a lot of the hatred and polarity that we see humans picking up like snowballs and throwing at one another. You know, there's also that much beauty, and this is the world of duality. This is what we live in. When there's going to be that much of that, there's going to be that much of the other. And we have to learn to be comfortable and regulate it in the duality, to be able to embody non-duality and to be able to sit in the discomfort of dis-ease.
Yeah, you spoke so beautifully into that. And I feel the same way, in feeling simultaneously super excited about AI and as from what little I understand of it, you know, because it is a space where I feel like I get more confused the more I go in. And simultaneously seeing, the potential and the incredible paths that are opening up for humanity. And at the same time, wow, the level of danger and the level of, and it's that, it comes in equal measure. And to be so deeply grateful to be alive in this moment in time, to be, you know, slowly becoming more awake in this moment in time, and to witness the world in all its beauty and its pain, and to know that more is coming of both. And to be able to hold that and to move in that and to co-create in that space, that's the challenge and the invitation of our times. And how beautiful to be part of a community through Tifa as part of that, and to navigate this deeply confusing unknown space where, you know, we keep falling into the pits of our own patterning, and at the same time, and this is the beauty of humanity, is this ability to fall so deeply into the darkest pits and to crawl and climb out of it, you know, and that potential and that hope and that the capacity to evolve. That's what so deeply inspires me in the world we live in today. And yeah, and you speak so beautifully into that, Andy, and to be able to, yeah, so gracefully move between the human and the one that's tapped in. I think I've learned a lot through this journey, and I'm very grateful to have Tifa in my life and to continue to play in that space. Mm-hmm. And so seriously in this container of this world that we just spoke into, you know.
Yeah, it's time for the big leagues.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Nikki, for always the bedrock that you've been in your journey through Tifa, both through your evolution and your ability to share that, and for the space that you've always held for me for moments like this to be able to express in a more fuller way. Mm. Yeah. And I wish the most beauty that one could imagine for the future of the podcast, and infinite blessings and gratitude and adventure.
Mm. And I feel excited to have you on more, Andy, and and to explore the different threads. And I feel in so many ways your life reflects the world, and it's constantly, it's that novelty theory of increasingly becoming complex, even as it deeply simplifies, you know? And I think it's lovely to be able to speak into that journey. So I look forward to
Yes. I mean, you bring in like and this is something we're coming back to is Tifa's forefathers, those who were alive last century who did this work, and did this work in a way where they were all white men, and they often either wouldn't be taken seriously today, or the work needs to live in a body, right? It came through their body, but it needs to live in a body, and Tifa is a body. And so I've held in my heart, and do continue always to hold in my heart, Ram Dass and Terence McKenna, who you just brought in with novelty theory. These are such important pioneers of living this work in the 20th and 21st century. And guides to the galaxy. And there are more of our forefathers, and I look forward to continuing to celebrate them because it's so important. And I think the last thing that I wanted to bring in earlier is the Sagittarian quest, the quest for truth. And you spoke into it a few times, and so it's already been spoken in, but to name it, that the logo of Tifa has always been the pine tree, which is a symbol of the arrow shooting upward, that sense of the quest for truth, the adventure, the philosopher, the explorer of the human experience, and the explorer of terrain, the traveler, whether it be in or out. And these are the essences of the organization: Aquarius, Scorpio, Sagittarius, right? These are the ones that at the cutting edge, and Tifa was born to be at the cutting edge.
Yeah. Yes. And to add to that, it's exploring the cutting edge, and at the same time deeply honoring those that came before us. It's going and immersing and swimming so deeply in the mythopoetic, in that which is so intangible, and at the same time investigating our poop, you know. So I think Tifa so beautifully navigates polarities, and again, this book ending our conversation and coming into that. So I guess the invitation now, as you know, this first or second or episode of this podcast goes on, is to invite that from the viewers, you know, to play with curiosity, to come in, to explore previous episodes of whatever Tifa's put out, but also to come in and also share any what's coming up, you know, what's coming up through this podcast, what's really alive for you. And I'm really curious what comments or feedback we get from this episode, and what. So please start writing to us and tell us, what moved you, what excites you, what scared you, you know, all these questions that Andy spoke into before, you know, that last moment you were truly happy, whatever it is. I think as we move into this extremely co-creative next phase of Tifa, this listener, whoever you are, you're going to be such an integral part of what's to come. So please come forward and speak. So much love to you.
How's that episode for you? If you learned from that episode, pay it forward. Leave a 5-star review so others can find this content too. Or join one of our 1-week online fasting retreats, one of our short courses, or enroll in the longer health coach certification program. You can also make personal coaching appointments with our Clean Body team. Whatever you do, don't let this moment pass you by. We send you much love from the Tifa headquarters, and we hope to see you soon. Head to theinstituteofaliveness.com for more info and resources.